If you had all the money you needed, how would you live your life differently starting tomorrow? Hello and welcome to the Julia and Gino podcast. We are your hosts, Julia and Gino Barbaro, co-founders of Barbaro 360. And today we've got a great guest. I'm going to read you his bio. Scott Frank is a founder of Stone Steps Financial in Encinitas, California, helping families align money with life. A CFA, CFP, and RLP. A lot of acronyms there. We're going to get to those acronyms. Yeah. He's a 2019 Investment News 40 Under 40 honoree. He co-hosts Real Estate, Real Personal Finance, trains advisors at the Kinder Institute of Life Planning, contributes to major outlets, and enjoys surfing with his family in Cardiff. Welcome to the show, Scott Frank.
Well, thanks for having me and saying both of my first names. I appreciate you.
Well, I was going to ask you a question in the beginning to start off the show, but sure. I'm going to pivot to my wife. I want my wife to answer that question. Baby, if you had all the money you needed, how would you live your life differently? Yes, but share what's
funny enough. I really wouldn't do much different. Every time you ask me that question, I get a little overwhelmed because more money means more work for me.
You know what I mean? Yeah.
We bought a farm. And we were just
hours,
and it's awesome.
Scott, you know why? You know why? Because she's got me.
Yeah.
There's no money that could actually.
I have everything I want. I'm the richest. I'm the most wealthy woman in the world.
And likewise. And one thing I think that the reason why I think she's answering it that way, I'm gonna speak for my wife for a second.
Yeah.
But I was brought up in a world where we create and produce, and our production is our first thought. And then from that, we consume.
Right.
And I think that's why we don't really lack for anything. It's great if we've got extra money, we can buy certain things, great. But that's not the first thing I get up in the morning to say, hey, I want to go out and spend money. My first thought is, hey, I want to get up, create value, have a great time, help other people make money. And then if I'm really good, money's just a result. And then I can go out and buy a donkey or I can go out and buy a horse. And that's great, but that's not why I'm doing it. And that's why that question to us now, as opposed to possibly 10 years ago, where the answer might have been differently, that's where I want everybody to get to in life, Scott.
Yeah, I think that's a lovely place to get. And I think different people will be different places on that. We can talk more about that frame that you're giving because it's purposefully there. You know, the original intent, though, is to let people who have money scripts holding them back, free them.
Mm-hmm.
And just say, hey, don't worry about money. And if you don't want to go to work, don't go to work. Just explain what's a life look like that's fully yours.
Mm-hmm.
That has you jumping out of bed on the balls of your feet to go get after every day.
Mm-hmm.
That's the intent of that question.
And it's interesting, you glossed over the word money scripts. For those of people who don't know what money scripts are, there's four money scripts. I think Dr. Brad Klontz came up with them. There's vigilance, there is status, worship. And what's the fourth one?
I know Brad's work, but I don't have them memorized. But you could even say money script, but you could also say innocent messages about money.
Okay, excellent.
Right? So just think of it as like if you grow up in a family where someone tells you that money doesn't grow on trees, you think that's true.
Yes.
And then like not far down the road from you, there are citrus orchards where money grows on trees.
Yeah, true.
So, more often than not, we have these scripts in our mind that are perpetuating us to live life. Mm-hmm. And so part of the work of this type of work isn't so much talking about it with a client, but more so giving them the space to free themselves of those scripts, of those beliefs, of those habits, to think about the outcomes they really want in their life. Because if you can show them the way to get that outcome, they will start shifting their beliefs and their scripts to get it.
Give us an idea of what it looks like when you work with someone. Just so the listeners get an idea of what they would expect the end result to be.
Yeah. You know, so where I would start is I would start actually with like how most advisors work because it's how I used to work.
Yep.
So the way that I used to work is like, you know, Julia and Gino show up and I have a chat with you guys. I'm like, hey, what do you want life to look like? And you just start telling me what you guys want to look like. And you're probably peppering each other along the way of what you want life to look like. And we build this beautiful plan and I hand it to you. And I'm like, here's all the stuff we have to go do. And then 6 months later, much has happened. And for a long time, I couldn't figure out why that was. I kind of likened it to most people who are professionals, get credentials. You know, you mentioned a few that I had. You kind of view it as like, I'm the expert. like you're here to talk to me to help you. So that's the frame that you get, right? Mm-hmm. But what ends up happening is I have that cape on and I'm here to solve your problem and be your hero, mm-hmm. but you have to go do your own work and you don't do it, right? Because that's just natural for us. The thing that's happened that I now understand, it's a neuroscience issue. It's mm-hmm. our brain. So we have two parts of our brain. We have the prefrontal cortex. That's like the, you know, the part that we think 2 + 2 = 4. And then some of us can do bigger math than that. I can't go much higher, even though I'm a finance guy. And then the rest of our brain, that's the brain that basically runs everything else, mm-hmm. right? So two little bits on that. One is the way to think of it is this psychologist, Jonathan Haidt, put a book out called The Happiness Hypothesis 2006. And he explains how our brain works. And he says, there's a little rider on top of an elephant. The rider is our frontal cortex, our thinking brain. The elephant is our emotional brain. I've been always talking to your thinking brain that's giving little memos from the elephant about what's going on in life and are you okay or not okay. But if the elephant doesn't agree with what we create, you think you're going to do anything with it?
Absolutely not.
No. So when you learn that, like when you write something down, you think it. But if you hand me what you've written me and I say it back to Julia, mm-hmm. it's going to go through your ear canal, hit your amygdala, and you're going to feel it. That's working with your elephant brain, to say it in a slightly yeah. different way. The other little tidbit on that is that the brain speed of the two, the prefrontal cortex, what we think of as our smart brain, runs at 10 bits per second. I don't know how old you guys are exactly, but I'm 46. And when I was a little kid, this thing called the original Nintendo came out and it was mm-hmm. 8 bits per second. You remember that? The original Nintendo?
Yes.
How fast do you think that system, that's the frontal cortex. How fast do you think the other brain is? Just guess.
Probably a lot faster.
So guess, what's your guess?
I have no idea.
Well, just throw out a number. You're going to be wrong, I promise.
50?
1 billion bits per second. So I'm doing this work helping you with your slow processor. Mm-hmm. We think we're doing great work. You go home, you don't do anything. So the work that we do with the way we teach at Kinder is we teach advisors to stop being the hero, stop trying to solve your problem, and instead learn how to be a great guide. So learn how to hold space for the two of you to have conversation, for you to figure out what matters most to you. So the way that we do it at first is the very first meeting, I just call an exploration meeting. We actually call evoke is what we call it, which is exploration, vision, obstacles, knowledge, and execution. Knowledge and execution is like working with a normal advisor. That's just getting stuff done. But exploration, vision, and obstacles are all designed purposefully to help the two of you figure out what matters most to you. Now, I say the two of you because I'm not saying the couple.
Yeah. Yeah.
We treat you as individuals because an amazing life to Gino is a slightly different life than an amazing life to Julia, right? And we have to understand what does a great life look like to both of you so that we can support both of you in getting what you want. So the way that it works is you come in and we literally just start with what brings you here today. And then we'd probably let the two of you start chatting together at first and we'd see like who's maybe a little bit more dominant in the conversation. And eventually we want to give the less dominant person the chance to just fully be heard.
Yeah.
Right? So it becomes like, hey, you know, Gino, like let's give you a chance to chat and you tell me, you know, what brings you here today? And you start bringing out your things, right? Now, what you bring out at first is you bring out the finance stuff. You're talking to a finance guy. That's your rider thinking, right? That's your rider going like, you've been driving over, like, what am I going to say to this guy? I got to tell him I need something, right? So you bring that stuff out first. And what we do is we go, yeah, we can handle all of that. Anything else? And you'll just hear long pauses. We give you the space to start bringing out the things that matter to you. And so the game that we play is we imagine that each of you has 10 marbles in your pocket and we want to give you the space to bring them all out and put them on the table. But while you're doing that, we don't ever want to go like, oh, you live in St. Augustine, Florida? That's so much like San Diego. Let's go talk about that. Because what I just did there is I said, that's important to me, Gino. The first two things weren't that important to me. And that just became my meeting, not yours. And now there's no way you're going to bring out the stuff that really matters to you that you never think about. It's down there. we call them hidden treasures. Some of them are like sewn inside our pants, right? Like, we're like, I can't tell anyone that I want to do this. This is silly.
Yeah.
No, we want that. Because the more you can go live an amazing life, the more you're going to flourish in your own life, spread that through your life, be a better husband, be a better dad, be a better whatever. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Yes. Absolutely. Prochaska and DiClemente, I'm sure you know, they had the study of change, the change process. Unfortunately, 80% of people are not at that action phase. You're talking about people who are ready and willing and able to go. So what happens if Gino and Julia come in and I'm just, Julia, why are you dragging me to this thing? I don't want to meet this guy, Scott. I don't want him to know how much I make. I mean, I'm doing pretty good. And it's one of them really wants it and one of them doesn't. And I think that's a hard one because you can only bring somebody to water. You can't make them drink. What do you do in that situation?
You listen. So I can't make you do anything. Mm-hmm. And the other thing I'll give you is I can't make you think through doing something. Anything you want to do in life, I mean, I can't say it's exactly anything because I'm sure the scientific analysis will say you can think yourself into action. But more often than not, you are not propelled into action by thinking. You are propelled into motion by an emotion.
Mm-hmm.
It's I want to be a better... I want to be a physically able granddad. So I'm going to start running, right? You're not doing it just to go get exercise. You're doing it because there's some intrinsic motivator that's going to get you going. Mm-hmm. The work that we're doing with the exploration, which leads to the three questions, exploration's really all about giving you space to cast a wide net on the things that matter to you and bring them all out on the table. The next thing that we go to, and that also helps establish trust, because there's nothing like being listened to. And even though the two of you are sitting right next to each other, you would be amazed at how many times I've had conversations where the two of you are sitting next to each other and one turns to the other during this conversation later in your bringing out your marbles and says, I never knew that about you. Because we get so wrapped up in who we are and what we do and how we live life. I kind of think of it like... you know, like the old six-disc CD changers?
Yeah.
You guys made your playlists long ago. Some of them were made by you, Julia. Some were made by your parents. Some were made by your coworkers. Some were made by Gino. And the question is, it's like, that's your playlist on you living your life right now. The work that we do up front, so long as there's nothing urgent financially, is like, who are you? And it's not with any judgment. It's really, who do you want to be? Mm-hmm. You know, what matters most to you? Because once we know that, then we just look through that as a lens to make all your financial choices and you actually go do them.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
100%.
It does. What I want you to do is I want you to hit my wife with those three questions. And we're going to coach my wife here. We're going to have a little fun here.
No.
I'm
going
to sit back. I'm going to have to learn a little bit more about my wife because maybe I haven't been listening to,
Think
and maybe that disc has been on.
Yeah. Well, I can tune you out very. I'm really good at tuning Gino out.
Well, like I don't know that we'll have time to go through them now, but what I would offer the two of you if you wanted to in the future is we could actually go through it together. It'd have to be a long form for you guys, though, because it would take a while to actually do all three meetings so you guys could go deep.
Yeah.
But what we do is in the exploration meeting, we give you that space to be heard, lots of pausing, which sounds like it would feel awkward when you hear it. But have you ever felt that like when you have a feeling – is a feeling instantaneous? It's usually a wave, right? Yes. It takes time to process.
Right.
So when you give people space, what's happening is they're processing. Mm-hmm. So they never think of it as awkward, right? They're just appreciative that they have that time and space. Mm-hmm. But we do introduce them to the three questions after that meeting. And so the three questions are...
Listen in, everybody. This is important. Take a pen and paper out. You can write them down. You can reflect upon them. And then before... Scott answers the question. Scott, where's your website? Where can people reach out to you and schedule a call right now? Let's give them that information right now.
StonestepsFinancial.com.
StonestepsFinancial.com. So listen to these three questions. Yeah. Write down these three questions. And if you are propelled into motion by emotion, look at Scott's website and schedule a call because this kind of work is so needed and it's so powerful and it's not about ROI. It's really about getting to know what you want. And from this conversation that I've had already, that's what Scott is doing right now. He has no skin in the game. He wants to fulfill your life. And he knows that deep within you, you have the answers to all of the questions in your life. And he's a guide to help you pull those marbles out one by one. And he's there just to show you what your marbles are, because sometimes we can't see them ourselves. But with his amazing ability to ask questions and to listen, and once again, as he says, to give you space, that's the genius of this whole process.
Oh, it's so kind of you. And I would give it one tiny reframe there, because you're doing all the work. I'm not. Uh-huh. What I'm doing is I'm holding the space for you to process what matters to you. Mm-hmm. It's holding up a mirror for you is really what it is. Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. That's the guide work. And that's the joy of the work, is that I don't have to be the hero in your life, Julia and Gino. You're the hero in your life, your journey. Like, think of it as whatever favorite book you know, or song you know, or a movie you know, it always has a hero arc in it. And there's always challenges in it. That's what we're drawn to. Mm-hmm. But we don't shy away from the longings that you have in your life. That's energy just as much as being excited about something is energy. Mm-hmm. But the three questions to your point, Gino, are: you wake up in the morning, you check your bank balance for you and Julia, and you have more money than the two of you need for now and the future. So you're great, whatever that means to you. And the question is, what will you do with your life? How will you live it? And don't hold back. Mm-hmm. Put everything down there, even the things that you think are silly. Mm-hmm. Yeah?
I love that. The great question.
So that's a really freeing question.
It is.
Yeah. Right? But actually, Julia, for you, you kind of said it's not freeing, because you're like, oh, man, we're going to have more.
That's what I wanted to talk about.
For me, it's like, this is great. And I strove to get to this point in my life. I strove to become financially free years ago, because I just didn't want to wake up worrying about braces and worrying about going on vacation. Yeah. And that was my stress.
Yeah.
And I didn't paint the picture to my wife about what financial freedom was. That was my mistake. Once I pictured it to her,
it's like not- what Scott said. I love the phrase about giving the person space, whether it's working with you or in your marriage. I think that's one of the main issues in life is giving everyone in our house, especially, space to talk.
Are you deflecting from Scott's
question? No, he's going to talk about it. No, don't you worry.
I don't know that we have time to answer it, but if you have something that comes to mind, of course, chime in. We usually spend an hour and a half to 2 hours going over answers to the three questions.
I was just joking with my wife, because you said that for her, it felt a little challenging.
And she's all like, my ideas are revolving around us servicing other people and helping other people.
Giving back.
Service. And I'm just like, whew, we have six children.
Oh my gosh.
We have a lot going on.
So the frame that I would give you, that I really, we think about a lot with our clients, and we try to get them to think about as well, because you can kind of put these questions into these buckets in a sense. People show up to us to talk about money. Mm-hmm. But you really have three other things you can invest in. You have your time, your energy, and your talent. And they're kind of all interchangeable, mm-hmm. right? Like, if one of you really wanted to go become a doctor today, you could. Mm-hmm. It would take time, energy, and money, right, to gain that talent. And once you have it, you can go put it to work. We can do that in anything in our life, whether it's being a parent, whether it's being of service to the community, whether it's starting a new business. But I think ultimately we have to ask ourselves, for who I am right now, where am I going to put my time, energy, and talent? So I put constraints, guardrails around this, because giving of service is lovely. But if giving of service takes away from you doing whatever it means to you to be a great spouse or mother or friend or whatever, then that's not serving you.
Yeah. Scott, she's been putting guardrails around me for a long time now. She's been telling me to slow down and to, I'm just joking.
Sitting in an orange barrel. Yeah.
We just went and saw horses today. Okay. I said, I'm not buying a horse. Don't worry.
And I said, how much does a horse cost? Because I want to buy a horse for my kids, because that's their joy. And I finally realized that when I find out that one of my children's genius is a certain thing, I want to propel that. Whereas 10 years ago, I'm like, you got to go to college. You got to get a degree. You got to get a job. Now I'm like, oh, you love art? Let's get art classes. Oh, you love to sing? Singing lessons. Yeah. You love horses? Let's double down on that. Oh, you want to build an e-com store? Yeah. I want you to do that. And I think if parents looked at it from that perspective and just wanted to bring out a child's genius and a child's passion and really gear them towards that, I think it would make that relationship between the child and the parent much stronger, but also the child would be able to flourish and would be able to say, wow, okay, I'm not working for money. I'm working for passion, and have a different relationship with money. And then ultimately, as they got better at something, they're gonna figure out how to make that.
I love where you're headed with that. I think it's lovely to support kids in their passions. I think that's such a great thing to do. A little pro tip I'll give you, because I grew up with horses, is to take baby steps.
Thank you. I'm not getting one.
We're getting one.
But in all actuality, I'm actually a huge, just in life in general.
Yeah.
Whenever you think like, oh, I'm so excited to go do this thing.
Yeah.
I always try to ask, like, and obviously budget can matter too, mm-hmm. whether or not you worry about spending a lot or a little. But the question is like, how can I test if this is the thing?
Yeah.
That's a great question.
And then what's the next step after that test? So is the test, we go take some lessons.
Right.
And then we loved the lessons. And then it's, okay, now do we lease a horse? Mm-hmm. So we're not buying a horse, but we'll do a partial lease. So we try it. And then, oh, we're still loving it. So now we're leasing and we're showing at the local showgrounds, but we're not traveling to A shows or anywhere internationally yet. And then you just kind of step into it a little by little, life by little.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's great advice. And I even recommend that even if your kids want to go to college for something, let them go into that field as an intern or something as a young person, because that's my life. Everything I tried, I thought it was the best thing ever. And then I'm like, all right, I'm done with this. Let's move on. You know,
yeah,
we do.
No,
at this point in life, what we have, I mean, our kids, I still like. So,
that's good that you're not going to trade them.
I like my husband. I'm not gonna...
likes. Yeah, some days great, some days not so great. I get it.
No, but I appreciate that advice. And I'm glad that you said it, because I think we forget that. And we pressure even our kids, like, hey, what do you want to be for the rest of your life? Decide now at 15 years old, because you're going to work toward it. You know, and that would stress me out as just hearing other people talking to their kids. And my kids look at me.
They need to hear that, like, we still don't know what we want to do when we grow up.
They look at us and they're like, "Ma, you guys, I don't even know what you do at this point."
Yeah, like, how many careers has everyone had to this point?
100%. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think even, again, giving the kids space to be like, where are you now? What are you excited about now? You know, I'm curious, even you as a father, you have two boys. How does this work that you're doing play a role as a father to them?
Great question, baby. Love that question.
So one of the biggest for me, and I actually was going to touch on this with what you were saying about your, I wasn't sure if it was a son or daughter who wants to ride.
Five
girls, one boy. So I grew up riding, which, you know, made it so I had all the girlfriends I could ever want, because no straight boys ride, basically, at least growing up where I grew up.
That's awesome.
So it was great. You know, so maybe tell your son if he's a little fella.
That is
pro tip. I like that.
He's 23.
He's 20. Yeah, too late now. Yeah, too late now. Now it's expensive.
He can pick his sister up.
Yeah, so one of the things that we look at when people come to work with us, now we don't really talk to you guys about this, but we really think when people come to work with an advisor, they're usually lacking either knowledge, understanding, or vigor. So, and they actually translate to the yellow brick road, right? So when you think about the yellow brick road, the first guy that we run into is the scarecrow, who doesn't have a brain, doesn't have knowledge. So that's just, you don't have financial knowledge, or you're not going to take the time to learn, and you want someone else to do it for you. Cool. The next thing is understanding. Understanding can be understanding how finances fold into your life, but it can also be, I really want to go spend more money, but I always have this need to save all of my money. Mm-hmm. So there's an innocent message there that probably exists from when we grew up, and we can't let go of that. So we need to get some energy on that to go do that. Mm-hmm. And then the final one is vigor. And vigor would be like, the understanding is the Tin Man, right?
Yeah.
And then obviously the cowardly lion, the opposite of cowardice, is like vigor, or being like, go and getting after it, courage. And vigor is something that you run into, especially with wealthy families where kids have been handed everything all their lives.
Yeah.
So it's like, so with me, with the boys, the struggle is like, one of our son who's 14 now wants to be a field goal kicker for high school football. He's dropping out of, leaving club soccer behind because he's going to have to go to football every day coming up, right? So he won't be able to do it. And there's a coach that he's working with, who's a great guy, ex-NFL kicker, who's amazing. And he came up with us, this plan that he has all these workouts that he's going to do throughout the week. And if he does them, he earns a lesson the following week. But if he doesn't do them, he doesn't get a lesson.
I love that.
So it's not on mom and dad to go be like, hey, did you go do your stuff today?
Yeah.
It's on him.
Yeah.
And he gets to decide how far he goes. That's awesome. Like things like that are the types of things we like to do. Our 7-year-old's a bit young for that, but he actually saw his older brother doing that. So now he's doing it for basketball, but he doesn't really earn a reward. He just likes checking the boxes like his big brother does.
Sure.
Yeah.
I hope whoever's listening to this right now goes back and rewinds that minute or two, because that is the essence of accountability, radical accountability. Yeah. And then your son actually wants something, and he knows there's consequences if he does it or if he doesn't do it. Mm-hmm. And that is the ability for him as he becomes an adult to be able to make decisions for himself. He'll be able to decide for himself. And that's, you're setting him up for success instead of just saying, hey, here you go. You need to put in the work. And well, the fact that
responsibility,
he has skin in the game.
It's responsibility I think a lot of, or commitment even, that a lot of.
So we got through the first question so far. You want the other two?
Yeah, let's try.
Oh yeah.
My wife just doesn't
feel like
you.
I feel like the three of us could chat for an hour and a half easily.
It's all good.
This is very easy with you two. Okay, so the second question gets harder, Julia. So the second question, and it's time oriented, and it's purposeful so that people think about the fact that time is limited on Earth. Because we often don't feel that unless we've just recently had a death in the family or had someone have a skirt death with a diagnosis. But so the idea is you go to your doctor and they tell you, sadly, that you have a terminal illness. Mm-hmm. So you're going to get between 5 and 10 years to live. You're never going to feel sick for a day that remains, which is kind of nice. Mm-hmm. But you don't know when the final day is.
Yeah.
So now you have this limited time.
Yeah.
And the thing is not to think about it, but to really feel it. Feel that, like, oh man, in 2036, I'm not here anymore. Mm. Maybe 2031 or anything in between. Mm. And the question is, what will you do with the time you have remaining? Mm. How will you choose to live your life?
Yeah. You want me to answer that?
Well, he asked you the
I'm
question.
Not going to answer it, but I am. Because I think that's such a powerful question, because so many of us make so many excuses. Mm-hmm. And I hear this from a lot of people. This is one of the things I never said because it bothered me as a young person. I'll get that when this happens, or I'll do this as soon as something else, you know, and it always weighed on me. I hated that when I was younger, hated it. Mm-hmm. When we got married, some people in the family used to say that, oh, when our kids get older, I'm like, what?
What were your feelings about that question? How'd you feel about it?
So my whole point is I love to be present now. Yes. I love being present with my kids, as annoying as they could be sometimes. My husband is annoying as he is most of the time. I'm just kidding. But it's just to be present. I think we don't realize that we don't really want much in life.
No.
It's not like we want to have, like, you know, a yacht and all these things. Maybe some people do. But ultimately, the desire for me is just being with the people that I love the most and experiencing the everyday things.
Yes. And the key question for you is, what does that look like to you? Because everyone's answer is different.
Right.
Right? For one of my friends, that's literally, he's an Italian who, like, lives up in Wisconsin. And his thing is, like, when we're at the lake house and all of the families are together and we're just around the table and they're playing these specific games that I can't remember. And there's like 8 pots going on 4 burners. Mm-hmm. And he's like, that's his life. Yes. That's what he wants more of.
Yeah.
And like everyone's version is different.
Right. That's a good question. And I like that you even dive deeper, because that's the question, is what does that mean? But I'm with you on what your friend said, because it's our family, but it's the extended family that I kind of miss, because, you know, people grow, you know, the kids grow up and things happen. But it's the full extended family somewhere. Agreed.
Yeah.
I love that. Yeah.
You have to have that in your life.
Yeah. And I think that's, but I think my whole point is that I think a lot of times we overcomplicate. Maybe you can think of what I'm trying to figure out here. Mm-hmm. We overcomplicate what we want.
So that's the joy of this work.
Yeah.
Is that you watch the clarity happen.
Okay.
And to your point, the first question will have the yacht and the Ferrari and all those things in it.
Not me.
And the moment you give like a timestamp, it just goes like, whoosh.
It's gone.
I was just going to say that. You got me laughing and you got me pumped up and now you got me crying. Yeah. Like, what's going on here?
Yeah, no, the final question.
I don't want the Porsche.
The final question is a tearjerker, man, because, Gino, the final question is you go to your doctor and they just give you news that they missed something.
Yeah.
And time's up. Like, today's the last day. And it's not about what do you do on your last day. Because you can think about beautiful things to do on your last day, but it's that if you really allow yourself to sit with the fact and feel that you don't get to be here with Julia tomorrow, she has to carry on the podcast on her own.
That's right.
Raise the six kids.
It will thrive, I promise.
Right? The question is, what did I miss?
Right.
Who did I not get to be?
Yep.
What did I not get to do? It just gets right to the core of who are we as human beings.
Mm-hmm. And in the end, it's not about money.
Rarely.
What is it to you in the end?
It's about who we love, who we didn't forgive. Maybe that's something like a big thing about forgiveness. Our relationship with God, because that's
A lot of spirituality people wait shows
for
up
the last
the
minute,
time.
You know? Mm-hmm. So if those things are in place, there's peace.
Yeah.
Ultimately. Yeah.
But I mean, so I think of it as two sides of the same coin, because you kind of said, like, maybe there's someone I want to forgive.
Yeah.
So some people will sometimes be like, they'll kind of, I think, misinterpret the question. They'll just be like, Scott, I don't have any regrets. I've lived a lovely life.
Sure.
I could never ask for anything else. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I love that for you. And it basically says they have a level of equanimity and contentment in their lives, which is beautiful. Maybe they're already spiritually centered and everything's great. I'm like, that's a lovely. And what's the untapped potential in your life?
Mm.
What have you not yet stepped into that you can step into?
Yeah.
That's really what it's all about, right?
Right, right.
So, I mean, that's the core, because what it really gets to, it gets to who are you as a human being? What are your core values? What drives you?
Mm.
You know, and for different people, different things come up. The things that we most commonly
see. What have you seen? Yeah, I'm curious what
family is almost always
thing.
There.
Yeah.
Family.
Yeah.
If people haven't had children yet and they really want them, they show up there.
Okay.
Spirituality.
Yeah.
Creativity. Sense of place, meaning maybe they live in the busy city and they want the quiet place in the countryside, or they grew up in the countryside, so they want the place in the city, right? It's like, there's something about place that they also want. Those are probably the most common things that we see come up, but common diminishes the word, because everyone's version is different.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I've never run across two people that want exactly the same thing.
My wife is sitting here going, I love this work. I mean, this is great. I could see myself doing this for the next 20 years. How do you train? What does the training look like?
Oh, I thought you meant like coach for the next 20 years.
No.
I can do that too.
It is wonderful work. So with the Kinder Institute, we teach trainings online and in person in the US, the UK, and Germany, Amsterdam, kind of all over. The way that it works is we teach a few different things. So George wrote a book called The Seven Stages of Money Maturity. That is a basis for how we think about the arc of humans interacting with money. So it basically starts with childhood. So there's innocent beliefs. And then there can be pain from innocent beliefs. So if you're taught that, like, you know, money doesn't grow on trees because your parents never buy you things, that can lead to some pain perhaps. Mm-hmm. And then you have in adulthood, we have knowledge, understanding, and vigor. And then when we reach maturity, we reach vision and aloha. So basically, the hierarchy. I can go up and down those things all the time. But the main thing that we teach in the two-day, in the seven stages course, is we teach folks how to understand the way the map of money works for clients. Mm-hmm. And then we also teach a lot of inner listening work. Most of us, when we're speaking, are not listening actively.
What'd you say?
Exactly.
I
<hear that.
laughs> No, I agree. It's a very hard skill for most of us to attain, because it's always about us. We're always thinking about us. We're always thinking about what we're gonna say. We always want
to
look
how to
good.
Fix. I can't wait to fix you. Yeah. That's another.
No,
thing.
That too, right? 100%. But that's the point. That's the biggest. I call it an untraining for advisors in our profession,
right?
Because we're so used to showing up with, like, tell me your problem and I'll fix your problem for you.
Right.
And I'm like, no. Don't do that first. First, help them figure out the vision of what they want and then do it.
Mm-hmm.
But that is the first thing that we teach. The next thing that we teach is we teach a 5-day training online in person, or a 4-day training online. And that's what we teach Evoke, what we're talking about today, where we talked about exploration and we started talking about vision, in that you with another person do experientially, you are the advisor for them and they're the advisor for you. So you get to know what it feels like to be on the receiving end, and then you give the go through the process by being a good listener. And so when you do that, deep friendships are formed almost immediately.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That's so awesome. The other little unknown thing about our industry of finance is that there's been time after time little anecdotal studies where you'll just be walking down the street in St. Augustine and some grad student will stop the two of you and be like, hey, do you have a second? And they're like, yeah. And you're like, okay. So would you be more willing to share with me your sex life or your money? What do you think people say?
Yeah, I know. It's unfortunate. It's a taboo. Money's a taboo. They're probably going to say, yeah.
They'll share their sex life.
Yep.
Yeah, they won't share their money. So here's the thing. We're in a business at a position where people are the most vulnerable. And if you can be a great listener, you can really help them hone in on what matters most to them. And then once they understand what matters most to them, help them align their money with their life.
Yeah. That's awesome.
So that's the joy. So that's the work that we teach in the Evoke training. And then we do a 6-month mentorship thereafter because people go start doing this work. But of course you stumble, right? It's like you just watch someone, like you just went with a clinic and you were working on a golf swing. If you're a golfer in Florida, I don't know what you guys do for fun, but like a lot of people golf around here. And then all of a sudden you go try to do it yourself and you're just like, I'm giving up. So you need a 6-month period with trainers to kind of get launched. That's what we teach. So in vision, when we answer those three questions, what happens is you've written down what matters most to you and I read back to you what matters most to you. So where I said you get to feel it, you now feel what matters most to you. And then what happens at the end of that, you each go individually. And then what we do, the way that you were saying earlier, Gino, like you're showing up, you're like, I'm not doing this thing, like whatever. You begrudgingly have that conversation with me and we bring out 8 of your 10 marbles. You don't bring out the last 2 because you haven't even told Julia about them yet. Yeah. But now you're like trusting it. And so now you write them into the 3 questions. You come in, we talk about them. So now you're hearing, you're like really going with all this stuff. And what we do at the end is we say, okay, can we consolidate this for you? And we just call that lighting the torch. And so what we do is we paint a picture for you, Julia, sometime in the near future where you've completed the things that matter most to you.
Yeah.
Now, the cool thing is it's neuroscience. Your brain, where are we living right now? What time in space are we living in right now?
What time in space?
The present moment.
Present moment, yeah.
It's the only place you can be.
Yes, correct.
But your brain doesn't know the difference between past, present, and future.
Okay.
So if I put you in the future in a present moment, having done these things, you will feel them in your body. Emotion. And one of my mentors in our business, Louis out of Amsterdam, says that emotion equals energy in motion. So Gino, the reason that we do the work that we do is we give you the energy and the vision to go do what you need to do. That's where we go with it. And then obstacles, what we do in obstacles is think of it like exploration. We kind of like, you know, those like duck boats that exist, like the blow up ones that like the Navy uses, but they probably don't blow them up like that, but that's, you know what I'm talking about?
Exactly. So
like those, you cut those out. That's exploration. We blow it up. That's vision. What's going to happen if there's a little leak in that boat? It's going to deflate. So obstacles is all about coming back together. And we just look at Julia, like, this is the vision that you want.
Yeah.
What could possibly get in the way? Because guess what? There's some innocent messages up here. They're going to get in your way.
Oh yeah.
So we're just going to give you the space to talk about them, bring them out. And then we're going to look at what can you do? How can you do it? When can you do it? Who can hold you accountable?
Yeah.
Every single one of those. So that you actually go like patch up those little holes and go get on with your life. That's kind of it in a nutshell, the work that we do.
It's so good. And I'm sure when the couples do it, it's like the best therapy ever.
Baby.
The coolest thing with couples is I'll give you, the most common version is they fall more in love with each other because they see each other fully for who they are.
Yes.
So like I've known my wife, I'm 46. I met her when I was 21. Sometimes I still think of her as a 19-year-old.
Exactly.
Right?
Nope.
But she's not. Like we've grown and changed a lot. And so it's like you need those moments to understand who are we? What are we orienting towards? what really matters to you so I can support you in those things?
Yeah.
And then vice versa.
Yeah.
Because how will life be, Julia, if you get everything you want in life and Gino doesn't?
Exactly. And it happens. It happens a lot. It's whoever's in charge of the money. He's
right.
Smiling over here.
But what would the outcome be?
It would be, yeah. It
horrible,
would just
right?
be a boring life.
Right. And vice versa. I mean, how would it right. be for you, Gino? You have right. everything you want
right.
and Julia's
yeah.
miserable.
Yeah.
It's not the life that we want.
Exactly.
Yeah. And yeah. I think I'm just thinking and reflecting as a man here, and this may resonate mm-hmm. with a lot of men. I think ultimately what we want is happiness for our wife, and that's all. So that's if you really break it down to
happiness as a couple.
Happiness
as
a couple.
You know, I hate that phrase.
I want to make you happy. Yeah. I want to make you feel safe. I want
right.
to make you feel loved. And then I'm doing things that are contrary to that.
Right.
If I'm not doing this work,
yeah.
right, and I'm controlling myself, and I'm being a tyrant with my money,
oh,
and
yeah.
I don't even realize that I'm doing yeah. it because I haven't fallen back to the default of these three questions.
Right.
And by the way, I've only got one marble, baby, and it's you know what the marble is. It's the vineyard in Italy.
Oh, right.
It's all the olive trees that in Tuscany. Yeah. That's the only marble.
As long
and that's,
as there
and that's
is,
a lot of
as
work,
long
baby.
As there is a full staff
yes,
taking care
there,
of
there,
that,
there
sending us
involved.
Wine.
There are rules involved.
But this marble. Why are you
that's
doing
fine. I just my marble is the staff.
Okay. 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 Fair.
Yeah,
fair
we're not going out and shaking the olive tree ourselves. No.
I would love that.
Send
baby.
All the girls out there to take care of the farm. Man. Yeah. No. I think that's always my marbles are just like, who's going to take care of it?
Scott, this has been incredible. I mean, once again, you know, before we wrap up, where can people learn more if they want to work with you guys, if they want to do the training with you, if they have
yeah.
any questions about the process, where can they go and find more?
Yeah. The training's through the Kinder Institute of Life Planning is where you can find more info there. And then, yeah, I am a financial planner by trade. That's my day job. And our website, stonestepsfinancial.com. And then I'm actually now starting to work on another book with George is going to do the foreword, and that's going to be more about the neuroscience and the evoke process in depth for professionals.
Because
I think we're getting to a space in time. You know, George created all of this 30 plus years ago, long before the neuroscience was around.
Mm-hmm.
He just has such an amazing presence and understanding that he could build such a beautiful way to help people. But now it's time to take it to the next level. And with AI getting to a point where it's going to start doing more and more of the technical.
Yeah. yeah. Mm-hmm.
The technical work is always important. Mm-hmm. But if you don't interweave it with the fact that you're a human mm-hmm. and you run on emotions, and money's probably the most emotional mm-hmm. material thing we have, it's not going to work out well.
Yeah.
In my opinion.
Baby, take us home, baby.
I want you to wrap this up. You know why? Because
why is
this is your subject. I
this
know that.
Is my
yeah.
subject. I think what Scott does is that he allows people to create clarity in their life, because people don't lack the motivation. They lack the clarity. Mm-hmm. And once you have clarity in your life and you're able to answer those three questions objectively, honestly, truthfully, and you're able to create some type of financial intimacy with your partner, I think things ultimately start changing. And I don't want to call it work, because work maybe have a negative connotation. There's a lot of effort. But mm-hmm. in life, I think anything that's worth the effort in life, it's really worth doing. And if you're at a point in your life where you're saying to yourself, there's got to be more. Mm-hmm. I don't know what my marbles are. I need help with this. AI is great. He can set up a plan for me, but I need to talk to a human. I want to get some emotion. I want to get some feedback. I want to get some guidance, and I want to get some direction. I mean, just go to the Kinder Learning Institute and go to Stone Steps Financial. Those are the next steps that you should be taking if you want a really great, engaged financial planner that's not just going to give you this cooker cutter 60-40 bond stocks. You can get any of that stuff. That's not what you're looking for. For any of you listening to this, you're a high-level entrepreneur. You're a family that's crushing it in business. You're creating all this amazing wealth. You're creating this legacy right now. Legacy is not something you leave behind. It's something that you activate today. Why not activate your legacy with getting clear on what you want your legacy to look like?
You couldn't agree more, man. Couldn't agree more.
Thanks, brother.
Yeah.
This was awesome. Yeah. This has been awesome. I mean, Scott, I'm going to reach out. I'm going to take a look at the website, and maybe I'll have my wife jump on there and do some training. I mean, I think
it'd be a joy to see her. So I teach
more work, Scott. He's giving me more work.
She needs to do it if she wants to do it.
I love all this stuff.
It needs to be
like
in her life plan.
I love it.
Well, it's interesting because before we got on, I was doing some talk with her and she's like, oh, this is going to be great. So I know her lane and I know she's really great at asking questions and she's really great at just listening to people. So listen, this has been a joy. Scott Frank, Stone Steps Financial. We want to thank all the listeners for tuning in. This is Gino and Julia Barber of Barber 360, and we will see you on next week's episode. Thanks, everyone. Thanks, Scott.
Cheers.